Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Praise God. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am Overseer Paulette Thornton, and I am blessed to be a part of the vision of the Apostle Dr. Sean F. Houghton in the ministry of Blog Talk Radio, as well as the Sexual Relational Healing Retreat, the Seven Wonders in the Word, and all of the programs that are going forth from the vision of Apostle Dr. Seanette Houghton. Today is Friday, January 15, 2016. We would like to share a lot of the activity going on in the ministry and those that had come and participated and been blessed by the Sexual and Relational Healing Retreat. I would just like to encourage you that the vision is taking on another level. It is actually going on the airwaves and the computer and the phone wave and every area that you were able to experience at the Sexual and Relational Healing Retreat. You can now experience that throughout the year on Blog Talk Radio, on the Family Christian Network. All are vehicles that the Lord has allowed the apostle to use to present to people different aspects of the retreat in a audio-visual form throughout the year. So with the Blog Talk family, you have prayer focus groups on Wednesday or going into Thursday at 3 a.m. in the morning, with Until We All Come Into the Unity Of. You have workshops throughout the week through the ministry of Unleash the Fire. You have the Unleash the Fire. You have the worship service of Tehillah Worship, and that's on Sunday evenings at 10. You have a host of workshops: Unquenchable, The Word of Grace, Breaking Beyond the Walls is a empowerment zone. Nothing But the Truth, another empowerment zone. Breaking the Silence, Real Talk, Word of Life. You have worship services. You also have the Christian Counseling Training Institute, the intense study of topics relating to our sexual and healing process. Then you have every second Saturday the Healing Freedom Clinics that you can also pick up physically at 1750 West 103rd, and that's from 10 until 2 to 4, depending on your need and your desire. You have the next one coming up in February on the 13th, and along with that is incorporated the First Love Banquet. So you have all of the many areas of the retreat are being presented to you in a variety of forms throughout the year and every week in some form or other. We encourage you to contact the ministry at, you can contact me, PC_Thornton, THORNTON, at yahoo.com, and receive a schedule of all of the programs being presented in all of the areas being covered, whether on the Blog Talk Radio or through the network, on a computer station that the apostle now has access to, bringing many topics that are in need of discussing in the church body. And with Words from the Word on Friday, we bring you excerpts from the ministry of the Seven Wonders. And each wonder presented not just at the sexual relational healing retreat, but wonders and worship rooms were presented and built and prepared for a variety of different types of services. And one will be the prayer summit that's coming at the end of this month, starting on the 28th, I believe. There's so much going on. There will be a wonder actually at 1750 West 103rd in Chicagoland, starting on that Wednesday. So you have so many things available to you for worship, for growth, for development, and for enrichment of our spiritual life. The Seven Wonders in the Word ministry provides a time of reflection and connection. It was a quiet reminder during services and gatherings of God's people of who has chosen us and how he had committed himself to us. I pray that you will listen and feel his presence greet you and lead you into intimate fellowship and worship today. Today we are going to continue with the message that the Lord sent to the retreat on the tabernacle and all things associated with it. Last week, we spoke about the breastplate, and each one of the stones on the breastplate that represented one of the tribes Israel. These tribes of Israel were the offsprings of the children of Jacob. So we want to go back to the beginning because we want to be able to identify the pattern that was presented through the patriarchs in the Old Testament. And with Abraham and Sarah, Sarah was barren. A lot of these, the wives of these three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were barren. And this barrenness caused them to project their emotional state into the plan and the provision of God. And we'll see this pattern unfolding. For Sarah was promised in her old age of a child. And in her anxiety and waiting on the Lord, because promises require waiting, and she waited and felt that it must not be her, she tried to interpret the promise in a carnal way and not by walking by faith. And as a result, she gave to Abraham, her husband, her handmaiden to bring forth a son, because she didn't trust the promise of God, because she couldn't see how it could be fulfilled. And so she gave her husband her handmaiden. From this handmaiden, Ishmael was born. And later, the Lord blessed Sarah and opened her womb, and Isaac was born. So we have a conflict of brothers from other mothers who even today are still at odds in the Middle East, fighting in strife, still in the Middle East. And from Isaac, whose wife was Rebekah, we have Esau and Jacob. Esau was Isaac's favorite. Jacob was his mother's favorite. Again, we see how our preferences, our hearts can influence that which God has for us. As a result, Esau and Jacob were at odds all of their lives, and Esau lost his birthright. Jacob then, after repenting and struggling and wrestling with the angels, his name was changed to Israel. For Jacob, he desired Leah as his wife, and he worked 7 years for her. But Leah's father was deceitful and gave him Leah and not the wife that he was working for, which was Rachel, which was Leah's sister. And so he worked another 7 years, and then he married Rachel. So here we have Jacob, whose name will be changed to Israel, having two wives, and the one being Leah, and the other being Rachel. And Rachel had the heart of her husband, but Leah did not. Having preferences can be devastating. They can be devastating. So as a result, these women, Rachel was barren, but Leah was fertile. And as she started having children, the sons of Jacob, which would turn be the beginning of the tribes of Israel. Her first was at his birth. We see we're going to look at three things relating to each one of these sons. The first thing will be their birth, and the second will be their father's response to them, and the third will be Moses' response to their tribe. So we have a maternal element, a paternal from the father element, and then the religious element into the lives of these children. And they represent all of the conceivable issues, I would say, and circumstances that could befall us. But we want to remember again that they were placed on the breastplate of the priest, indicating that the priest was always to remember that this was the heart of God. He had a heart for them. He knew who they were, and he had a heart and a plan for them. So we will start with Reuben. His birth. His mother was Leah. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." You'll find that in Genesis 29 and verse 32. Then in the chapter, Genesis 49, we find the father's response. "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, exceeding in power, turbulent as water. You will no longer excel, for you went up into your father's bed, unto his couch, and defiled it." So Reuben received the rebuke of his father. Moses blessed him by saying, "Let Reuben live and not die, nor his men." So the Mosaic blessing reversed the curse of the father. And this is a pattern we're going to see, that those things that affect us and would curse us can be reversed when the priest, the religious, or the spiritual guide of our life steps in. And Moses was their spiritual guide. Then we come to Issachar. At his birth, during wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the field and found some mandrake plant, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take away my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "I have hired you with my son's mandrake." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah as she became pregnant and bore Jacob, a fifth son. When Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband," so she named him Issachar. Again, we have the heart of one woman breaking in strife for affection, being rejected, wanting to find a way to end the pain and suffering of her rejection that only brought more. Then Jacob's blessing to Issachar. He said, "Issachar is a raw-boned donkey lying down between two saddlebags. When he sees how good his resting place is and how pleasant is his land, he will bend his shoulders to the burden and submit to forced labor." That's from Genesis 9, 14 and 15. And I encourage you to follow these in the scripture as you could see all the details of their lives unfolding. And then the spiritual blessing upon Issachar. Moses said about Jerusalem, about Zebulun, he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and you, Issachar, in your tents. They will summon people to the mountain, and there offer sacrifice of righteousness. They will feast on the abundance of the sea, on the treasures hidden in the sand." That's from Deuteronomy 33:18-19. Each one has a purpose and a destiny. Then we will look at Dan, his birth. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me child or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant, Bilhah, as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. When Rachel said, "God has vindicated me, he has listened to my plea and given me a son," because of this, she named him Dan. That's from Genesis 30:1-6. Again, generational curses. Sarah did not wait for God. Rachel did not wait for God. Jacob's blessing. Dan will provide justice for his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a serpent by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heel so that its rider stumbles backwards. I look for your deliverance, O Lord. Genesis 48:16-18. Genesis 49:16-18. And then the spiritual blessing of Moses upon Dan. Upon Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's cub springing out of Bashan. This is Deuteronomy 20:33-22. Joseph, who was not on the breastplate, but was a child, the son of Jacob. At his birth, his mother, when God remembered Rachel, he listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. Genesis 30:22-24. The Father's blessing. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attack him. They shoot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the Almighty of Jacob, on Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helped you, because of the Almighty who blessed you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb. His father's blessing was greater than the blessing of the ancient mountains. Then the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the hand of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. It is clear from the blessing that Joseph was his father's favorite. The spiritual blessing from Moses. About Joseph, he said, may the Lord bless his hand with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below, with the best the sun brings forth and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest gifts of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness and the favor of him who dwells in the burning bush. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. In majesty, he is like a firstborn bull. His horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them, he will gorge the nations, even those at the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000 of Ephraim. Such are the thousands of Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph, and they were the ones that were on the breastplate of the priest because Joseph received a double portion. We look at Asher at his birth. Leah's servant, Zelpha, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, how happy I am. The woman will call me happy. So she named him Asher. This is in Genesis 30:12-13. The father of Asher, Jacob said of Asher, Asher's food will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. As we declare the blessings over the lives of our children. And then the spiritual blessing for Moses. About Asher, he said, most blessed of the sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe in feet, his feet in oil. The bolts of his gate will be iron and brass, and your strength will equal your days. That's from Deuteronomy 33:24-25. We look at Simeon at his birth. His mother conceived again, and when she gave birth to her son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gives me this one too. So she named him Simeon, Genesis 29:33. His mother was Leah. Their names are indicating the state of the mother's emotions. And then Jacob's response to Simeon, he actually rebukes him. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger, so fierce, and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. And there was no mention of a spiritual blessing on Simeon by Moses. Then looking at the birth of Judah, his mother conceived again when she had gave birth to her son. She said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Jacob's blessing. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemy. Your father's son will bow to you. You are a lion's cub. O Judah, you return from your prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. He will thither his donkey to a bind, his coat to the choice branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robe in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. That's from Genesis 49, 8 through 12. And our Christ came from the tribe of Judah. And his father spoke that blessing over his son. The spiritual blessing from Moses over Judah. And this he said about Judah, hear, O Lord, the cry of Judah. Bring him to your people. With his own hands he defends his course. O be his help against his foe. With his own hands he defends his cause. And our Savior's hands were pierced for us. And then the son Levi, who was not on the breastplate. At his birth began his mother conceived. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. So he was named Levi. And that's Leah was his mother. Genesis 49 through 34. His father rebuked him, Simeon and Levi. Our brothers, their swords are weapons of violence. To the same blessing upon Simeon, the same rebuke that Jacob had towards Simeon also went towards Levi. However, the spiritual blessing upon Levi, Moses said about Levi, your Urim and Thummim belong to the man you favored. You tested him at Massah. You contend with him at the waters of Meribah. He said of his father and mother, I have no regard for them. He did not recognize his brothers or acknowledge his own children, but he watched over your word and guarded your covenant. He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you and burnt offerings on your altar. Bless all his skills, O Lord, and be pleased with the work of his hand. Smite the loin of those who rise against him. strike his foes till they rise no more. So though his father rebuked him and cursed him, the spiritual blessing came upon him from Moses because the Levites were chosen to be the ones to stand before the Lord in the temple on behalf of the people. Zebulun. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob, a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Jacob's blessing, Zebulun will live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. His borders will extend towards Sidon. The spiritual blessing upon him from Moses about Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and you, Issachar, in your tent. They will summon people to the mountain, and there offer sacrifices of righteousness. Zebulun's blessing by Moses was the same as Issachar. One was going to be a homebody, the other was going to be a lighthouse at the sea for those coming and going. Then Benjamin, at his birth, then they moved on from Bethel, that would be Jacob and his family. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't be afraid, for you have another son. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Onah, but father named him Benjamin. You find that in Genesis 35, 16 through 20. Benjamin was the only son that Jacob named. His blessing. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf in the morning. He devours the prey in the evening. He divides the plunder. The spiritual blessing by Moses. About Benjamin, he said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulder. What a blessing. Gad. When Rachel saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant, Zelpha, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant, Zelpha, bore Jacob a son. When Leah said, what good fortune, so she named him Gad, Genesis 39-11. His father's blessing, Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heel. And the Mosaic blessing, about Gad, Moses said, blessed is he who enlarged Gad's domain. Gad lives there like a lion, tearing at the arm or head. He chose the best land for himself. The lender portion was kept for him. Then the heads of the people assembled, and he carried out the Lord's righteous will and his judgment concerning Israel. And then finally, Zephantali. At his birth, Rachel's servant, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. So she named him Naphtali. And the father said, Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. And the spiritual blessing. he is abounding with favor of the Lord and is full of his blessing. He will inherit southward to the lake. So as we see the different ones receiving the hurt from their parents or the joy from their mother, and then the blessing or cursing from their father, but then the spiritual blessing upon their life that helps shape their life. We're reminded that the things that we say and that we do, that we have to give an account for. And it's not just our life, but often the lives of those around us and those that we love. And so there is the mountain of the family. And that spirit that preferred at the mountain was the spirit of rejection. And each one, there was such a rejection. And in that rejection came a lot of pain and a lot of suffering and a lot of error on the part of those that rejected as well as those that were rejected. And I believe that we are now in a season where we have to repent. We have to repent from those things that we may have done to cause rejection, but to cause one to feel rejection, those emotions that we had, that we were not able to surrender to God and wait for him to heal. And we also have to denounce the spirit of rejection off of our family. And so I would like to share a couple of readings with you. One, the mountain and the giant. The giant and mountain declaration for the mountain of the family. Father, we decree that rejection no longer controls our lives or the lives of our loved ones. We will not fear our past, our present, our future, or man. We are submitting to walking in faith and not by sight, for you are bigger than this giant. And as the author and finisher of our faith, we declare that we are victorious because of you. Today we present our family, our personal families, and our church family to you as a living sacrifice according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. For this is a reasonable act of worship. We declare that we will not be conformed to the image of the world, nor to the words that were spoken of us, but we are being renewed in our mind and our spirit. We declare we will live in your perfect will, O God. We declare that the year the spirit of rejection has delayed, destroyed, or distracted, our destiny is over. We declare complete restitution from this enemy and legislate that as a thief to my destiny, the Jebusite giant that controls the mountain, the family, mountain of the family, must return to me seven times more. We proclaim all that is lost is coming back to us now. We are being pursued by these blessings, and they will overtake us and find us. And then as Jeremiah 29 and 11, we decree over our family that you have a plan for us, a good plan to prosper and bring us to an expected end. And we declare that as a family, we will seek after you with all our heart, mind, body, and spirit. We declare as a family, as a church family, that we will be passionate lovers and lovesick warriors with an eternal burning for the more of you. Lord, we thank you that we can speak and declare your word over our lives, and it will change that which the enemy had sought to destroy. And we had a wonderful event some years ago where five baby boys were presented. And as they were presented, we spoke and declared some things over their lives. I would like to remind us of those things and encourage us to put them in the forefront of our minds now. And let that be a part of our prayer focus. Psalms 141 and 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Your words will form the home your child will dwell in. Speak well always in truth, and let your actions constantly reflect your words. Let your words build rooms based on the holy standard of God. Let every area be warmed by the unconditional love of the Father. Always let your words bring the refreshing power of the Spirit of the living God into the lives of your sons and daughters, and into the lives of those that are your sons and daughters, whether by blood or in blood. Speak words of life in and over those you have been given charge over at all times. Bless your children daily. Avoid idle words and jesting terms. Don't become their friend, but become the force that will fight the enemy of their destiny. Your words carry power. Use them to help shape their destiny. Make sure all your words teach your sons and daughters to honor God in all things, whether big or small. Let your words reveal the ways of the Lord, and let your actions teach them to fear the Lord. Only then will they be wise and bring honor to your name. As they hear your words and see your life, your life and your words will train them up with truth, not tradition. You are charged this day and this day forward to seek God's destiny for your sons and daughters and those that you've been given charge over, and commit yourself to be used by the Lord to guard and to guide that destiny for that young person. The lives of your sons and daughters have purpose and promise. Know it and be true to it. Let your God-given assignment and your love for your sons and daughters strengthen your heart when you grow weary with the challenge of parenthood, whether parenthood personally or parenthood spiritually. I would like to read to you from Come Away, My Beloved. Learn to reign. Lo, I have made you to become kings and priests. I have purposed that you should come into the place where we share my authority, and thus I will be able to manifest my glory through you. I call my people to repentance. Yea, call them to their knees for prayer and fasting, for confession and vigilance. For this is a strategy hour. The enemy is rejoicing already over his anticipated victories. Disappoint him and thwart his evil design if you lay hold upon the throne of God in steadfast, believing prayer. Yea, I say unto thee, ye must do even as the devil has done, and anticipate your victory in advance. Ye can do more than the enemy at this point, for you can claim the victories in the name of Jesus. And all ye claim in that all-powerful name is sealed in heaven before it comes to pass on earth, and the enemy is defeated, yes, even prior to the actual battle. Lay hold on this, my people. This is not only a glorious truth in which to rejoice, but it is an absolutely vital to your victory. How go the troops to battle in carnal warfare? Not without due preparation, ample admonition, and intense training. I do not expect you to meet your adversary unequipped, unarmed, and undisciplined. Do not count upon me to deliver by some kind of magic. I give you orders, and you must obey. Otherwise, you shall suffer intolerable defeat. You do not face life skirmishes in which you can look for easy victories. I remind you that you are not contending with flesh and blood and matching wit with men, but ye are being ambushed and faced open attack from the very enemy of your soul, Satan himself. He is not to torment, and he has not come to torment. He has come to destroy, not to hurt you, but to crush you. Your strength is no match against him. You must learn how to lay claim to the throne of God. I have met him and won everything I won on the cross. Now you must find the way of victory yourself, each individually, so that my victory, already won, can become a present victory in operation for you today. Don't cry to me in the hour of crisis and distress as though I would extend some miracle in answer to prayer. Of course, I do answer prayer, and I can perform miracles and bring deliverance. But if I do this, I have only rescued one of my own out of trouble, while you yourself have won no victory at all. I want to teach you how to actually circumvent the enemy, to drive him out of this mountain, how to subdue kingdoms, and how to truly reign in the kingdom of heaven. I want you to experience Jericho's, not Ai's, where the children of Israel were utterly defeated. Ye must be overcomers if my work is to be accomplished. Ye are not qualified to be used for my purpose as long as you are being harassed by the enemy, and I keep needing to rescue you from a constant parade of distressing predicaments. You are more than conquerors, Paul said, and it was by my spirit that Paul was taught to speak this. Rise up then and lay claim to the power that is yours, because I am in you and you are mine and you are in me. And I was in the world even as you are. I was victorious and you too may be victorious. I withstood every encounter of the devil and you too can stand against him. I healed the sick and wrestled tormented bodies out of the grip of evil forces. And you too can do the same. You bring this kingdom into operation in your own life by an act of faith. Yes, barely by a constant attitude of faith. For thus saith the Lord, I will have me a people in those last days through whom I can manifest my glory. There are works which I must yet do through my body, the church, which I could not possibly have accomplished through my own physical body in my earthly ministry. I am even now bringing this body together, uniting the individual members, breathing my breath into it, endowing with gifts and ministries in order that through it I may do my work. So that when the time comes that I take the church out of the world, I may be able to say again, it is finished. Know this also, that there are sufferings yet to be accomplished in the body of the church that I was not able to suffer on the cross. For did not Paul write that ye fill up what is lacking of the sufferings of Christ? No, I write unto you now, that ye be patient, and that ye hold steadfast while the days lie ahead, and know that the trials and suffering are working towards a consuming glory. Praise me, O my people, praise me. Praise me out of a heart of pure love. Praise me blessing and every victory. Yes, and praise me when the most difficult thing to do is praise. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And faith is the voice of praise. Praise is the voice of faith. It is faith rejoicing for victories claimed in advance. The song of praise is made of the very fabric of things hoped for. It becomes an evidence of unseen things. It is the raw material in my hand from which I fashion your victories. Give it to me. Give me much. Give me often. I dwell in the midst of the praise of my people. I dwell there because I am happiest there. And just as surely as ye make me happy with your praising, ye shall make the enemy most unhappy. He has no power whatsoever over a praising Christian. He cannot stand against a praising church. This is the most powerful weapon you can use against him. So praise is like a two-edged sword. The one side brings health to your own spirit, and the other side cutting down your enemy. Be encouraged that this is what the Lord has said to us. This is what the Lord has given us. And as we go forth, I would like to go to this song of worship and praise, but also a song of anticipation. It is an old song, one of the old standards, but I encourage you to listen to the words and let it, as she said, fuel and unleash the power of your passion to do that which we have decreed and declared over our family, over our children, over our spouses, over our loved ones, and most importantly, over our church. We are a family. We are a member of one body, and we must dwell and come into the unity thereof. Enjoy this musical interlude, and then we'll be back and see if some of our callers would like to share with us. Enjoy.
Labor is in you.
Behold, he comes riding on the... Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The line is open. I want to give our callers opportunity to share anything they wanted to share. And so you're open and you're available, you're on the line. If you would like to speak, we are listening. We are listening. Behold, he comes. Hallelujah. Yes, he is coming back. Amen.
Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. How are you?
I am well. This is Elder Deborah.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for another informative broadcast. I learned a lot of things that I guess I hadn't really connected the dots. The spiritual blessings and looking at the maternal and the paternal responses to the 12 sons or the sons, that was very informative. The blessing or the what you spoke over the mountain, the reading that you talked about the mountains of the family was really strong and powerful. I'm hoping that at some point I can get a copy of that. You know, as I was hearing you read that, I was thinking of several people. I'm like, man, I need to send this to this family member and that family member. And it's also just a blessing to me. But this has really been, you know, it has been great to just be part of the broadcast again today. And just wanted to share and just let you know that, you know, God is blessing. The apostle is certainly a visionary, hearing at the beginning of the broadcast all of the different ways that she is still allowing us to be part of the retreat and those things to be alive and well and continue to bless people, you know, even in the midst. So God is just showing himself strong, and just the way that, you know, the vision of the apostle is being birthed in the land is just awesome, and I'm just glad to be a part of it in any kind of measure.
Amen. Amen. We thank you so much. We praise and worship God, and we rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice. And we will talk.
Yes, ma'am.
And it is so, it is, as your sister says, it is manna for the household. I just
Hallelujah.
Love that. I stand on it. Hallelujah. Miracles are manna. Miracles are manna for the household. And I just
thank
God that he has sent us manna, and we have feasted well in the name of Jesus. I just praise God for you and your family.
The feast of the Lord is going on.
Amen. What you think? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I do
Amen.
Have another caller. I do have another caller. You're on the line. Are you going to share with us today?
This is Minister Pat. I just enjoyed the entire message. It was just phenomenal. I'm like Elder Deborah stated, things that I hadn't even thought about was brought forth. And just knowing that even with rejection and hurt, God can come in and, you know, he can reign victorious in our lives. And you know, we just identifying and, like you said, denouncing. And it was just a powerful message. And I was just grateful to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'd also like to share the fact that the CCTI class has started, and that class is dealing with rejection. And
we're getting
some powerful teaching from Dr. Isaac, an insight into our own soil and life, and that the First Love Banquet, which would be February 13th at Laborers for Christ, and that theme is rejection, going from Isaiah 55:3, I believe, where we had rejected Christ. You know, and that's why we're being reminded always to start our year, you know, examining so that we will return to our first love in any area that has into a place out of alignment with his love, as he admonished the church in Revelation. And so it's just such an exciting time. It's our first fruit 21-day consecration. This is a jubilee year, a return back, a restoration back to wholeness and back to our inherent rich our inherited richness of our inheritance, and also to see how that is in alignment, that 50 years is in alignment with those 50 days, the day of Pentecost, and how there's such a pattern in the Word, and how that day of Pentecost brought us back into alignment with our original inheritance when God sent his Spirit to dwell in us and produce in us heaven on earth. And we just thank God. We rejoice, we worship, we thank God. I pray that the sound of the song is of a quality that allows you to just feel the Spirit in it. For behold, he comes. He's going to be riding it. Just an awesome vision of our Savior. And I just end the program with that. Praise God for you. We will be bringing to you in the next session more information about the prayer watch that we're in and the prayer summit that's coming, and the schedule that Labors for Christ is putting forth for that prayer summit, so that you won't miss a moment of it, and that every moment is covered. And if it isn't, then you will cover it and make a commitment for that covering. So I just praise God and thank God for him and for all that he has done. And so we will go out and enjoy the day in praise and worship of our Savior, remembering we have an awesome God, and he is coming back. Hallelujah.
Riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. Thank you.